You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no doubt faced a situation when you needed to choose to stand for God or not. No matter how you faced that test, I'm sure that you now appreciate how difficult it can be. Well, if you're like me, you pray that God will give you the courage and strength that you need for the next time that you're given that opportunity. I'm Steve Schwetz. Welcome to Through the Bible. In this study, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, continues through the Old Testament book of Daniel. As you may know, Daniel faced these kinds of tests throughout his entire life, and as an old man in a hole with a pride of hungry lions. And in the middle decades, he stood strong for God, so strong, in fact, that those who schemed against him couldn't find anything to accuse him of. They had to make stuff up, and we'll get to that story another day. But for now, we're in Daniel chapter 1, verse 14. So as you turn there, here are a couple of letters from the Bible bus. Let's first visit our brothers and sisters around the world. This first email is from Romania. I understood from the program that I will lose money and fame one day. I have put so much effort into getting money, but as the Bible says, it will all be gone when I die. Because of this, I need to invest more in my soul. Thank you for this program that is a wake-up call in this regard. Next, we hear from Gayatri in West Bengal. He writes, I am a follower of Christ. If I ever miss watching this program, I become impatient. I take notes from the teachings, which helps me meditate on the Word of God. Through every new episode and subject God speaks to me, I am truly overwhelmed that God is helping me grow more and more, making me mature in the Spirit. Please keep me in your prayers. Well, if you'd like to pray for listeners like these and millions of others who hear God's Word on Through the Bible, then you need to join our World Prayer Team. It's super easy. Just go to ttb.org/pray and sign up today. Or call 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can answer your questions. Let's pray together now. Father, thank you for feeding our spirits with your Word. Teach us from our brother Daniel how to stand strong for you in difficult circumstances. And thank you for your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Daniel chapter 1 as we make our way through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we are just getting underway here in this very wonderful book of Daniel. And I know you have the notes and outlines before you today. And if you don't, of course, you should have. But I want now to recapitulate just a little, because the book of Daniel is a remarkable book. It's probably the best known of all the prophets. And of course, all of the heresies and the higher critic and the cults and the isms all go to the book of Daniel. They gravitate there. And we want to try to see what the book of Daniel really is all about. Now, we are in the section that's historic. The first six chapters, as we have indicated, we have the historic night with prophetic light. That means there's prophecy in this section, but it's all given to us as history. Most of it's already fulfilled. And then we have the last section, beginning with chapter 7 through 12, prophetic light in the historic night. We don't reject history because it's being given to us in the last section, but the emphasis there is upon prophecy, and prophecy that is yet unfulfilled. And it makes this, of course, a very remarkable book. Now, we were getting the background here in chapter 1. Daniel, a young boy of approximately 17 years of age, carried away into captivity. He was apparently put through the test that Nebuchadnezzar had for all of his captive people. He picked out the cream of the crop. He picked out the top bracket, young people, and then he gave them a test. And he's going to thoroughly brainwash them and make them Babylonians and make them subject to him. They'll become his advisors and his helpers. Now, Daniel was one of those. Daniel was made a eunuch and was given the training, but there were certain things that he rejected. And one was that he would not eat what the others ate, because when he did, he would repudiate, he would reject the Mosaic law. And frankly, he was not called upon to reject the Mosaic law. That is, he was under it, and there were certain meats that you were not to eat, and certain meats you could eat. And he apparently was also a Nazarite, and a Nazarite could not drink wine, and that was part of the diet that was given, and he rejected that. Now, he purposed in his heart, we're told. And I'd like to say this, because today there are so many that have made Bible separation and Bible living a matter of a few little rules that have to do with eating and have to do with conduct. And there's always a tendency to draw a line down on certain questionable things and be dogmatic about things actually that are debatable. I have a letter, a woman that was saved in my Thursday night Bible study in downtown Los Angeles. She's in Who's Who, a rather remarkable woman who'd been in several cults. And then she got with a little group after she was saved that told her that she couldn't do this and she couldn't do that. And her letter to me, as she had been in the East and returned to California, she told me how miserable she was. She says, I've done all these things, and yet I'm miserable. May I say to you that actually there were certain things in the past that set up a little system of not doing certain things, doing things that was good at first. For instance, the monasteries that began in the Roman Empire. It was actually a protest against the licentiousness of the Roman Empire. But before long, it was worse on the inside of the monastery than on the outside. And Christ, you remember, said to the Pharisees, you make the outside of the cup clean, but inside it's dirty. It's just like, as he said, whitewashing a tomb. And today, it's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, it's according to his mercy. In other words, we must first receive new life from God. We must be born from above. And now, if you're going to argue about Daniel's diet, I want to say to you that it all began in the heart of Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart. He's not a paper mache. He has a heart, and it's in his heart. And Daniel, I think his experience actually should be ours. We are today captives in this world in which we live. You can't get away from this earth. Gravitation holds all of us by the seat of our pants. We just can't jump off. And we're in the world, the Lord Jesus said, but you're not of the world. And we're told you cannot serve God and mammon. And that's not by rules. The fact of the matter is that you got a purpose in your heart. You've got to have a heart. The Lord Jesus said it's out of the heart proceed issues of life. It's not what goes into you. Those are not the important things. But this man Daniel now is purposed in his heart, and he's going to follow God's law as given to God's people Israel. And this to him was his testimony. Now we are told here that the chief of the eunuchs, the prince of the eunuchs, he was rather reluctant because he was brought up on the Babylonian culture that this diet was the thing that produced geniuses and giants. Well, he soon found out that wasn't altogether true, but he liked Daniel, and they had 10 days in which they tested it out. And we're told that Daniel was given pulse. Well, that's not a good translation, and I suggested last time that the idea of vegetables is not quite it. I don't think he's becoming a vegetarian. That's not it. Actually, it was a grain, a cereal. And as we said, Daniel wanted to eat his Wheaties. And therefore, he's given that, and the test was made. Verse 14 now, I'm reading. So he consented to them in this matter and tested them 10 days. at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the youths who did eat the portion of the king's food. So that actually the diet worked in their behalf. And that ought to tell us something too, by the way, friends. May I say to you, if you think God gave that diet to his people just to be different, and they were to be different, but also there was a health factor involved. I believe thoroughly today that if that diet given in Leviticus, if you would follow it, you'd be healthier than your neighbor that eats anything. But you can eat anything. We're not under that law today. Now, we are told here, verse 16, thus Melzer took away the portion of their food and the wine that they should drink and gave them vegetables. No, gave them Wheaties, gave them the cereal. Verse 17, as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Now, just as God had blessed Solomon, God's blessing these Hebrew children in a foreign court. In other words, Daniel will eventually become prime minister through two great world empires. Now, will you notice? And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, we're still in the area of revelation. And long as you're in that area, God will use dreams and visions. But now, don't you today say God has spoken to you in a dream. Because I'll have to contradict you. I'm sorry, but I do. This a dear lady rushed up to me, and she said, oh, Dr. McGee, I've had the most marvelous dream. And she went on to say, and I had to stop her. I said, lady, I think if you'll just look at what you had for dinner that night, you probably will find the explanation for your dream. I don't think God's speaking that way today. He speaks in his word today. And it's lots easier to dream about it, a great many people. That's easier than studying the Word of God. I used to have students. They would pray the night before exam. They were very pious. They didn't study very much, but they were very pious. And they'd stick their Bible under the pillow. One of them told me that's what he did. And I said, look, what do you think? You think that the names of the kings of Israel and Judah are going to come up through the duck feathers and get in your brain? I said, the Holy Spirit, I don't think is helping any lazy person today, and he's no crutch for a lazy person. You're going to have to study the Word of God, and God's speaking there. Now, these men here have the Word of God. We're going to find that Daniel had the book of Jeremiah because he refers to it later on. But God is speaking now for this man is writing one of the books of the Bible. In spite of what the critics say, Daniel wrote it, and not 300 or 400 years later. Now will you notice verse 18 of chapter 1 of Daniel. Now at the end of days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Now Nebuchadnezzar is going to look at the training that has been given to them. Will it be the proper training? I honestly believe that the communists have been very stupid in their brainwashing today. They attempt to break down a man, and you can break down any human being, of course. And he finally will have to give in. We can only take so much. And they attempt to break him down that way. But friends, that's not the way you do it. You see, this man Nebuchadnezzar knew how to do it. He has given them a lot of good food and gave them a fine position. And now he tests them. And he does it in a friendly way. That's the way you make friends, influence people. And that was his philosophy, by the way. Now he brings these men in. And the king, verse 19, conversed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Why, he said, look at these four boys. They're geniuses. And so he gives them a good position. Now, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Now, Daniel's moved to the head of the class. Verse 21, and Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now, Daniel's span of life given to us here begins when he was about 17 and continues to when he was about 90 years of age, so that he bridged the 70 years captivity, although he did not return. Apparently before they even left, why Daniel died. We have no record of that at all, of course. Now we come to the second chapter, and we found out that in chapter 1, heathen customs were judged. Now we're going to find out in chapter 2 that heathen philosophy is judged. And we have in this chapter the dream of Nebuchadnezzar about a multimetallic image and the interpretation of Daniel concerning the four kingdoms of the times of the Gentiles. Now we're coming to probably one of the great sections of the Word of God. Now, as far as prophecy is concerned, this multimetallic image together with the four beasts in the seventh chapter and the 70 weeks of Daniel, you have there actually what would be called the backbone of prophecy and the ribs of prophecy, so that you could never have a skeleton of prophecy unless you had these two passages of Scripture from the Old Testament. And everything the Lord Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse was based actually upon the book of Daniel. When they wanted a sign of the end of the age, he says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, you know you come to that period. And he made it very clear that when Jerusalem would be compassed by armies, that would be a period that would indicate the times of the Gentiles, and it would continue until the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. So it makes this chapter now that we're coming to a very important chapter. Now we have here the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and his demands upon the wise men of Babylon. Now that's in the first 9 verses. Then you have the decree of Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the wise men for failure to tell the dream. And that's verses 10 through 13. And then you have the desire of Daniel to be granted time to tell the dream, verses 14 and 18. Then you have the dream of Nebuchadnezzar described in detail by Daniel, and that's verses 19 through 35. And then you have the definition of four world empires and their destiny as interpreted by Daniel, verses 36 through 43. And then you have the destruction of Gentile world powers and the full establishment of the kingdom of heaven upon the earth, verses 44, 49. I just talked to a man. He said to me, what is this world coming to? How are things going to be worked out today? There's a crisis everywhere. My friend, the times of the Gentiles are going to run out. The Gentiles haven't done a very good job of running the world. And we see the beginning of it here, and we may see the end of it. That is, I think the church is going to leave before the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. When that does, that's going to bring Christ back to the earth to rule. Now, you see, this prophecy now is basic, actually, to the understanding of prophecy. That's the reason that I keep insisting, friends, to just know a few little verses of Scripture and to be able to interpret those few little verses of Scripture actually can be a dangerous thing. That actually is the way the cults began. I could name them, but I'd better not. But I'm sure you know that some of them, they only use certain verses of Scripture. In fact, a knowledge of history and of human nature teaches these men that start cults and ism the need for a doctrine which would satisfy the natural mind. And actually, that's what the social gospel is. Liberalism today is something that appeals to the natural mind. A preacher again, young preacher back east, told me about how another minister in a neighboring town is building a great empire. And this man drinks, and he cusses, and he's out with the boys. Probably does everything else the boys do. But he says, how is it that that man's growing? People are joining his church. They come to hear him, and I'm attempting to preach the word of God. And I had to tell him, I said, you and I have got to recognize we're with the minority today. And if we're going to represent God, we're going to be with the minority. And that man's appealing to the natural mind. When you say that he baptized so many, he just got a whole lot of water on them, got them in under the water. But he didn't get them saved because he's not saved himself. Actually, in the past, when the great St. Augustine was asked why he had succumbed to the Manichaean heresy of that day, he gave this answer. And St. Augustine was a great man of God, by the way. He says, it was so complete and reasonable. You see, the philosophical approach that so many preachers are using today is probably the most dangerous approach that is imaginable to the Word of God. They never think about going to the Word of God, making it the foundation and the authority. They've got to give you the interpretation of some man of the past. They want to begin with Plato. I went through that, and when I was about ready to start in the ministry, I wanted to go in that direction because it sure appeals to people, and it shows them how smart you are. But thank God I got under the assistance and the influence of a man who was a Bible preacher and teacher, in fact, two men, and that put me on the track of just teaching the Bible. Let the chips fall where they may. Now, I give you that background because it's important today to study the entire Word of God. And this section we're coming to is important. Now, let me read chapter 2, verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep went from him. Now, this man Nebuchadnezzar, I'm confident, as he had been lifted and exalted to a very high position, that he had wondered about this great empire that had come now into existence under his leadership. Actually, it was the first great world empire. You see, Nebuchadnezzar actually had done something that the Egyptians had not been able to do. After all, Egypt was self-contained, and the biggest mistake any pharaoh ever meant was to leave the Nile River. He just stayed there. He's absolutely well protected. He had a wall around him that nobody could breach, and that was the desert, and only one entrance, and that was to come in through the river. And all he had to do was just guard that. But they began to reach out. But they never did become what you'd call a world empire, although they influenced the world as probably no group of people have ever influenced the world. And this man Nebuchadnezzar was just a petty chieftain, and he began to unite these different tribes. And he took over the Assyrian Empire, then the Syrian, and he's on the march. And he goes down and overcomes the Egyptians. And the Greeks are not able to offer any resistance, although he made no effort to move in that direction, didn't need to at that time, because he's actually ruling the then known world. And this man Nebuchadnezzar, I'm sure he had to think this thing over. And when he did, he found out that he had a world empire on his hand. That's sort of like the old bromide of getting a lion with a tail. You can't hold on. You can't turn loose. And so he's in that position. Now, God speaks to him at that time. We'll see that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Daniel certainly was in a unique position, a place only God could have orchestrated. Without a doubt, Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful person in the ancient world, and in front of Nebuchadnezzar's face, Daniel stands for God. Wouldn't it be great to meet him someday in heaven? I'm sure that when we thank him for his example, no doubt he'll just point us to God, because that's what he did throughout his entire life, isn't it? Next time, we're going to go deeper into one of the great sections of God's Word. We'll be in Daniel chapter 2. So, Now, as you may know, our monthly newsletter is a great companion to these messages. It's also a really good standalone ministry resource, filled with extra teaching from Dr. McGee and ideas on how to apply what we're learning. That's so important. I know that you'll appreciate the content and look forward every month to receiving it either by mailbox or inbox. Download our most recent edition and sign up to receive the newsletter monthly at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Well, there's more in this great study of Daniel. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll save you a seat on the Bible bus. Glad to have your company as we study God's Word together.
Jesus made it home, all to be my home. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Well, ride the Bible bus for 5 years, and you'll be amazed at what God teaches you from His Word about what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a blessing that keeps on going. That's what we believe at Through the Bible.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. Thank you. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Once again, our radio ministers and preachers and all those out there in Radio Land, I pray for you this morning that the power of God will move in your life as a child of God. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners this morning. Father, once again, I pray that the Holy Spirit would touch the hearts of those that have tuned into the broadcast. And Lord, that you would give me divine unction and utterance of the Holy Spirit, that I will speak the word of God boldly to all that tune into the broadcast. I ask your blessings to be upon the hearers, even the doers, those that do not even trust in you. I pray for them this morning that the power of the Holy Spirit will reach their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we want to look at what the Word of God is saying today. And the subject that we will be expounding on is being in Christ. Being in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in a church building, not in some organization, but in Christ. And we want to look at what the Word of God says today. And if you have your Bible, or perhaps if you're near where you can have a pad and pen, I would pray that you would jot down these verses of scripture there so that you can relate to them at a later time. Because the most important thing is being in Christ, not in some building or perhaps part of some organization, but in Christ. Now, the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is most important. And if you have your pen, underline that in Christ. If therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You see, we are new species. We are a new creation, and the Word of God tells us that if we are in Christ, we are a new creature, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Being in Christ is very vital and most important, because the only way we can get back home is being in Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So we must be in him in order to get back home. And I pray today that all out there in Radio Land, that if you want to get back home, you have to be in Christ, not in some building or organization. And I want to just reiterate that, because, first of all, a lot of folks are in churches, in local assemblies, but they are not in Christ. And the most important thing is to be in Christ. The Word of God tells us that this is a preposition that is used quite frequently and most important, because in Christ, through Christ, for Christ, and by Christ is all that we have. Praise God. So in Christ. So Paul was telling the church of Corinth there, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And God sees us as if we have never sinned. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? He sees us as if we never sinned because we are in Christ. Our spirit that once was dead has now been made alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into our spirit, glory to God, and brought forth regeneration, glory to God, hallelujah. And that made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Minister Glory, I would like for you to kind of, you know, we'll play tag team here this morning, glory to God, concerning in Christ. Because the most important thing is to be in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, Apostle Paul was telling us when we are in Christ that we are what?
More than conquerors.
We are more than a conqueror.
That loved us. And that's Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
You see, everything is in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ, and for Christ. Glory to God. So Paul's telling you that he said, nay, in all these things, that we are more than a conqueror. We're not just conquerors. We are more than a conqueror, but it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through us or the ability that we have to try and conquer situations and circumstances. No, he says that if we are in Christ, glory to God, that we are more than conquerors through him. I said through him. Underline that word, through him. Praise God. Through him that loved us. Jesus loved us. Glory to God. And I want to tell you today that when we continue to look at these prepositions and see exactly what transpired concerning being in Christ, most important, praise God, that we have what Jesus has afforded for us all through and by what took place there on that old rugged cross. Glory to God. So first of all, being in Christ, you're a new creature. Second of all, we by being in Christ, we are more than conquerors through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ that loved us and gave himself for us.
Amen.
That's very powerful. And mm-hmm. when we look at what's going on there, we give God all the praise and honor and glory because it is he and he alone that's able to make the difference in all of our lives. Let's look at another verse of scripture because what we're doing is scripturalizing everything that we are talking about concerning what in Christ means.
Amen.
Many people fail to understand. They say, well, I go to church there. Yeah. And every time the doors are open, I'm there and I fellowship and so forth. But the question is, are you in Christ? That's the most important thing. Are you in Christ? You can be in the building and not be in Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Now, we've used another verse of scripture there concerning, what is it?
1 John 4:4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, Antichrist spirits.
Yes.
Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Praise God. You are of God, little children, and you've overcame them because greater is he that is in you. Well, who's on the inside of you? We can be everywhere. Praise God. Doesn't matter where it is. But do you have the greater witness residing on the inside of you? The scripture tells us greater, not just great, but greater is he that is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, praise God. The one that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the Father, sent back the Holy Spirit to take up residence on the inside of us as children of God. Praise God. Greater. Somebody out there in Radio Land should say, greater is he that is in us, in me, than he that is in the world. Well, we know who's in the world. The devil is in the world. And the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us because our bodies have become the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. So greater is he that is in you or in me than he that is in the world.
Praise God.
Or perhaps the greater witness resides on the inside of us, according to what the word of God says. I believe it, praise the Lord, than he that is coming up against us.
Amen.
And that's the forces of the devil out there in Radio Land. So the greater witness is on the inside of us as children of God. Praise the Lord. We have that power. Praise God. In 1 John 2 and verse 20, the word of God tells us that we have an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. If you are in Christ, you have an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. And we know all things. This is why we must be in Christ in order to accomplish everything that God has afforded for us to have as a child of God.
Amen.
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 In Christ.
In Christ. Everything is in Christ.
Glory to God.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
In the Anointed One.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Praise his wonderful name.
I know, so in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Not myself, but in Christ, he strengthens me to do.
Amen. See, when we have Jesus part of the equation, then we have the capacity and the ability to accomplish whatever it is that needed to be done according to the will of God. What does the scripture say? Paul says in Philippians, he said, I can do all things. Many people today, they say, well, yeah, I can do all things. But see, they leave out Jesus. And once you leave out Jesus, it's not going to happen at all. He must be part of the equation. I can do all things. I said all things through him that loveth us, through him that strengthens us, through him that gives us the ability to do the will of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
See, through Christ.
It's through Christ.
And that strengthens us.
That strengthens us.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
So what it is that in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. You see, it's all those things that makes it possible for us to accomplish the work that God has called us all to do out there in Radio Land, and
yes,
even behind this microphone here this morning. We must constantly and continually believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Everything is in him. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is why we lift him up. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We give him all the praise, and the honor and the glory. We dare not take any credit for anything, because we have no ability or strength to accomplish anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister Glory, you remember in St. John 15 and verse 5, I think somewhere in that vicinity there,
mm-hmm,
Jesus said, well, yeah, without me, you can do nothing.
That's what it says. Mm-hmm.
What does nothing mean?
Nothing.
Nothing means not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't able to do anything
right
without the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's amen.
Our dependency is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our strength comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
I want to tell you today out there in Radio Land, if you're trusting in anything or anybody else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you have set yourself up for failure and perhaps disaster situation. Jesus, somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
He is the one. Glory to God.
He is the one.
And we are in him. When you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, then what happened is that when you receive him, you have everything that you need to walk this Christian journey. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need everything.
Everything.
And you have everything.
Amen.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the equation of the one that is able to meet every need that we have as children of God. Don't depend on man. Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. You mentioned victory, Lord, Pastor.
Praise
and,
God.
1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God, which give us the victory through whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, that's what it is. Christ has to be in everything that we're doing. Otherwise, he said that without him, you can do nothing. So, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is again, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Praise God. But, isn't that something?
But the Lord wants us to stay steadfast, though.
Yes.
Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you today that it is in Christ where we have the victory. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We thank God for that. I want to just kind of tell you out there in Radio Land that because of who he is, we can face tomorrow because we are in him.
Amen.
Glory to God. He paid it all.
Paid it all.
He done it all.
He has.
Praise God. Now let's look at another verse of scripture here because we're talking about being in Christ. And first of all, the most important thing is we look at what the word says. Now in Colossians 2 in verse 9, I want to just let you know for a moment here that the word tells us that in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
I want to say that again. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Praise
all three are one. In him lives the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And now we've asked him to come into our lives. So that next verse tells us what, Minister Glory?
And you are complete, glory to God, in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
So in him, here's the preposition in, in him. So first of all, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then the 10th verse there, Colossians 2 and verse 10, tells us that we are complete.
In him.
In him. In Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing lacking by being in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Ooh, I tell you, being in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ. In him we live.
Yes.
And move and have our mere existence or our being. Praise God. In Christ. I tell you, I wonder why people feel that they can do something outside of Christ and expect victory. No, this thing is not about us. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And everything that he has done for us. It was Jesus that suffered the wrath of God for you. God looked at him on that cross. But let me tell you something. When he was on that cross, I was on his mind.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? When he was on that cross, I was on his mind. Thank God that I've been given the opportunity to look at what he's done. Receive him into my heart.
Yes.
Give him all the praise. Well, you know, Minister Glory, first of all, we talk about exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we look at the word of God with God has already exalted him.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Philippians 2, let's look at what it says in verse 8 and 9 and thereafter. Praise God. Because Jesus has already been exalted. Not just exalted, but he's been highly exalted.
That's right. Amen.
And we are in him.
Right.
Glory to God.
It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him.
Amen.
And given him a name which is above every name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and then things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, that's wonderful.
According to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Praise the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that we are in him.
Yes.
That positionally speaking, we know who we are and that we know whose we are.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And you know who you are, and you know whose you are. You know the victory that's been won for you, and you know who's done it. Praise God. And you know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Praise
yes.
God.
Praise God.
In
mm-hmm.
him we live mm-hmm. and move and have our being.
Amen.
Praise God. What a mighty God that we serve.
Yes, we
praise
do.
God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was on that cross, we were on his mind.
Yes.
He went there to take the wrath of God for us all.
Mm-hmm.
He is our substitute.
Yes.
Can you imagine for a moment what would it look like for me going to a cross to do what? You can't die for nobody.
No, only Jesus.
It took one that had no sin.
That's right.
To die for the sins of the world. Amen. And I mean him, praise God.
And that's the whole world.
Yes. Each and every day, mm-hmm. I thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for being in you. My faith is in you, not my circumstances or situations that's going on in and around my life. I am in you.
Amen.
And you are in me. And the Father, we are in us all. That's praise right. God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful. Yes.
So let's look at what now, if we are in Christ, what has Christ done for us? Praise God.
He has redeemed us from praise the curse God. Of the law.
He has redeemed us. Let's look at what does the scripture say here, because we want folks out there in Radio Land to follow us from a scripture standpoint. You can look at what we're talking about. We're not sitting here making up something. We want you to follow what we're saying scripturally. Praise God. Now, Minister Glory, you said that Christ.
Yes. Galatians 3:13.
Glory to God.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
This is why, you see, we want to walk in the things that Christ has done. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse.
Yes.
See, the curse of the law.
Curse of the law.
And we know that the curse of the law was... poverty is a curse.
Yes, it is.
I want to tell you, poverty is a curse because mm-hmm. the Word of God tells us that he who was rich became poor that we might be made rich. Let me tell you something here. The curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, if you go back and look at that, you see all the curses there. Mm-hmm. And the curses came upon those that failed to operate, to hearken unto the voice of the Lord.
Right.
God Almighty, mm-hmm. Lord thy God. Praise God, and to do that which is right and pleasing in his sight.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ has redeemed. We're redeemed through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, mm-hmm. curses is anyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, he hung there on the tree so that I could be blessed.
Amen.
I'm blessed. Glory to God.
That's right.
I said, I'm blessed in Christ.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not blessed in my own ability or strength.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blessed in Christ,
that's
in
right.
the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been accepted in the Beloved.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right.
Yeah, you've been accepted.
That's what it says in Ephesians 1:3. It says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, woo, glory, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Glory to God. So the blessings is in Christ.
Amen. In
Amen.
Christ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord Jesus. And look at, we want to go back to Galatians 3:13 for
okay.
a moment,
mm-hmm.
because he said that he redeemed us from the curse of the law,
uh-huh.
for it is written, curses anyone that hangeth on the tree.
Yes.
But he said in the next verse that the blessings of Abraham
mm-hmm.
come on the Gentiles by faith. Praise
through
God.
Jesus Christ.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Praise God. So you all out there in Radio Land, if you are in Christ, you are blessed. Don't
Amen.
Let anyone tell you anything different. You are blessed.
Amen.
Because you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the blessings are, in Christ.
That's right.
There are folks out there walking around today that are not in Christ. They are out of Christ. They have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. So let me tell you something. They have natural life, but they don't have eternal life. And to have eternal life,
mm-hmm.
you must be in Christ.
Right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You must have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God.
Praise,
hallelujah.
Praise
I tell you, I feel like shouting right now.
Go right ahead.
Because of what? Well, we can't shout. We're trying to teach you. Praise God. So I want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and let him use me in the capacity in which he desires. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, you feel like doing things. But see, it's got nothing to do with the feelings. It's how the moving of the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful.
The moving of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know, and by being in Christ, you know, Ephesians 2, glory to God. And in verse 6 there, let's look at that for a moment, Minister Glory, because what is happening is that by being in Christ, we've been made to sit together with him.
That's right.
I want you to read that, glory to God, Ephesians 2, verse 6.
And there. It has raised us up together.
Good God Almighty. Has raised us up together.
And made us sit together.
Wait a minute. Has raised us up together. He didn't ask us. He made us.
Amen.
It's so important to be in Christ.
Yes, yes.
Glory to God. He has made us to sit together in Christ. In heavenly places.
Yes.
Where are you sitting today? Are you in some building or are you sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus?
Glory
now, we're
God.
Speaking from a spiritual standpoint.
Right.
Now, don't get carnal on me because the word of God is clear. Glory to his wonderful name. And we just want to let you know today, glory to God, our time has slipped away here. But the word has not slipped.
Nope, has not.
We're out of time, but we're not out of the word.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because
Hallelujah. The
word is all powerful.
That's right.
And it's in our heart.
Amen.
I praise God, give him all the glory, and minister glory for the little few minutes that times that we have.
Amen.
I want you to just offer that and extend that plan of salvation, glory to God, to everybody out there. We don't know who's saved out there, who's tuned into the broadcast. But Jesus know.
Okay. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But whosoever, that's what whosoever, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By faith.
Glory to God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just tell you in the closing seconds here that you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is to receive Jesus and be in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We pray for you out there in Radio Land. And God bless you all. Unto the next broadcast is our prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Out.